Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This great actor got up in a big fancy church in Hollywood, and he was reciting the Lord's Prayer. You can imagine it was quite dramatic, a lot of emphasis, a lot of passion. He ended up, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And the crowd, they went nuts. The crowd, the congregation, yeah. It was almost as good as what you just heard here. It really was. But then an elderly man got up and he went to the front of the church and he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, O God, deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And as he finished, the congregation was silent. The actor knew the words. The old man knew the Father. There's a big difference. To know the Father, to know the one who loved you so much that he sent his only son to die for you, that's worth a lot more than just dramatic acting and entertaining. It takes a heart to know the Father. And you've heard, it's true. It's who you know, isn't it? People say that in the business, it's who you know. Well, let me tell you one thing. In the church, it's who you know. It really is. And I mean that in the good way. It's God, not the pastor or anybody else. Well, I didn't want to start off too heavy, so let me tell you another story. A couple of guys were at Ted Drew's chatting about, eventually the talk gets around to religion. And the one guy says to his buddy, "You say you're a pretty religious guy. I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." "What are you talking? I know the Lord's Prayer. I went to church when I was a kid." "All right, I'll give you $20 if you can recite the Lord's Prayer." He said, "Absolutely. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord." The other guy says, "Just forget it. Here's the $20. I didn't think you'd know it." But the Lord's Prayer is something we have heard so much. Sometimes I call it the Christian flag salute. I remember in church, in school, we'd get up and recite. It's something we say so much that maybe it's been good this last few weeks that we've taken the time to really break it down, to really understand what it's about. One little kid, I think he got it right. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, how did you know my name?" But think about that. Think about a Father in heaven who does know your name. That's pretty awesome. He knows everything about you. And that's why he sent his son Jesus for us. Well, this morning we conclude our series on prayer. And specifically the last several weeks we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. And before we go to God's word, let's go to him even now to pray. Let's pray together. Father God in heaven, we do ask you that you will bless your word to us today. May we see your glory and your power and the wonderful words that your son Jesus taught us to pray. Open our minds and our hearts to hear from you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us ears to hear, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sharon and I got back in town at 1:00 yesterday morning, so it's good to be back. We've been out on the West Coast for about 3 or 4 weeks and visiting family. I preached last week at our little church there and led worship, and it's been a great time. It's kind of tough going back, visiting folks who aren't doing great. Sharon's dad is not well. My mother has kind of late Alzheimer's, so she didn't remember who I was, but I went in and she says, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm your son, Randy." "Randy?" She got a little excited. And then about 5 minutes, "Now, who are you?" I said, but you know what she did? She knew every song we sang together. She knew every word. I wrote her a little song when I was 5 years old. She sang the whole thing. And then she used to sing to me at night, "There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover." She sang the whole thing, including the second and third verses, which I didn't even know. So it's amazing. But it was great having some time and being there. And by the way, as we were flying home last night, I was watching a movie on the airplane. Have any of you seen the movie Breakthrough about the little kid who went through the ice? Do not watch that on an airplane next to a stranger. I'm sitting there like this the whole time, just weeping. It's a great movie, but it's kind of embarrassing. I say, it's the air conditioning is kind of like the stuff in the planes. You know how it is. It's... Well, let's overview just a little bit what we've been talking about the last few weeks from Matthew 6. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking to the people about a lot of things, and that's when he teaches them how to pray, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 5 through 16 to set it up a little bit. And these are the words where Jesus says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Verse 6, but when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus goes on to say, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. God bless to us the reading of his word. So far in the series, we've seen a lot of things. Number one, we've seen the focus of our attention in this prayer is God, our Father who is in heaven. It's always good to know who you're talking to, that you have a relationship with, and you respond differently to someone you know, the Father. I mean, when the IRS calls you up, which they do often all the time, and tells you that you owe them money or some credit card company, you don't have any interest in that. But when you know that you're talking to someone who knows you and loves you, the Father, it changes how we respond and how we act. So we've learned six things, I think, if you've paid attention over the past few sermons. There are six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. The first three are petitions that honor and glorify God. And the next three are petitions really for us, personally. Petition one says, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Again, it establishes who we're talking to and where he is. He's our Father, our Heavenly Father, and he lives and dwells in heaven. And it inspires the reverence, and it should not be trivialized when you pray to your Father in heaven. The second petition we learned is, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come. It's pretty self-explanatory. The Jews were often talking about the coming kingdom, and the Bible talks a lot about God's kingdom and the kingdom of God. And so he doesn't go into detail defining that concept here because he's talked about it, and you've heard it preached, what the kingdom of God is. Thirdly, God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is asking his Father to make his own name great, to advance the kingdom, sanctify his people. And the prayer, in essence, was saying, may what is there be here. May what is in heaven be here. That's the goal, and that's what we would desire. That's not always what happens, especially if you've looked at the last few weeks in this world, what's gone on. You don't see the glory of God's kingdom here. You see, really, the evil that happens in this world. But our prayer is always that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. The next three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, they are, again, they focus more on us. They're kind of straightforward. Give us this day our daily bread. We know what that means. Provide for us the things that we need. We pray, God, that you would be there for us. Not only, I see it also not only as food, as our living bread, but as the bread of life in Christ himself, that he would provide for us everything we need through himself. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Presbyterians like to say debts instead of trespasses. I don't know why. There's a whole other sermon on that, I guess. They want to be forgiven of their debts. And in other words, sin. Would God forgive us our sins, even as we forgive those who sin against us? And as Jesus said later on in the passage, if you're not willing to forgive the sins of others, how can you expect to be forgiven? That's pretty harsh, because we kind of think whatever happens, it's good. But no, he says you'll be forgiven as you forgive. And then finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Protect us from the evil one. A lot of controversy over this. Is God going to lead you into temptation? No. But we are praying that he would guide us away from the temptations that we have, the trials that we have in life, and that he would lead us to himself, that we would not fall into sin. So you've received some really great teaching the past several weeks on all these different petitions. I assume you've received great teaching. I wasn't here, but I did listen to a few online. So we come to the final statement that we say in the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Did you read that in our scripture today? No, you did not. It's not there. What? Are you kidding me, Randy? Is this heresy? Why don't you stick to missions? How dare you say that it's not in the Bible? Well, here's the deal. It is in the Bible, in the older versions of the King James. It's in the Didache, which is a teaching tool that was used for the disciples, and also it's kind of the book of order for the early church. It's there. So it's not heresy to say it's not there, but the NIV and the ESV, the translations that we use, a lot of the modern translations, those words are not there. So what's the deal? Is this really part of the prayer that Jesus said? And my answer is maybe. Let me tell you why it's likely, because I don't want to dwell too long on why it's not on all the different versions. But it's important to know that this ending line of the Lord's Prayer, which is called a doxology, is true. And doxologies were common back in the day. We sing doxologies all the time. You guys know, glory be to the Father and to the Son. And the more familiar one we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures. It's something we know. And in the Jewish tradition, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever, that was a doxology that they knew. So it's likely that it was prayed, but it wasn't recorded in all the different translations of the Bible. But let me just say this, those closing words tie in perfectly with the opening of the Lord's Prayer. We open the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom. Thy will be done, for thine is the power. Hallowed be thy name, thine is the glory. So it really ties in well, the beginning and the end. And a very similar doxology can be found in David's writings. If you look at 1 Chronicles 29, it says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. So there it is. That doxology, once again, is found in the Bible. And it's found in other writings that you can go online. I don't have time to go into all the details. But it's interesting when we're reading through the ESV and the NIV, it's not there. And that's where you go, whoa, what are we doing, man? You know, we're adding too much stuff. No, it's a doxology. It's kind of like when we say at the end of the prayer in the morning, hallelujah, amen. It's a conclusion that just says, because he ends up, this is happening forever, amen. So let me get a little bit Presbyterian on you, because I feel it's my job. You guys know why I became a Presbyterian pastor, don't you? I had a choice when I came out of Bible college and everything. I could be Baptist, I could be Presbyterian. Presbyterians paid so much more. I just said, why not? If you're going to do the same work, why not just be a Presbyterian? But to be a good Presbyterian, let me quote to you the larger catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Question 196. Bob, you know what it says. It says, what does the conclusion or the doxology of the Lord's Prayer teach us? And the answer, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever, amen, teaches us to enforce our petitions with arguments, which are to be taken not from any worthiness in ourselves or in any other creature, but from God. And with our prayers to join praises, ascribing to God alone eternal sovereignty, omnipotency, and glorious excellency. Sounds very Presbyterian, doesn't it already? Yeah. Big, big words. In regard, he is able and willing to help us, so we by faith are emboldened to plead with him that he would, and quietly to rely upon him that he will fulfill our requests. And to testify this, our desire and assurance, we say, amen. So the confession is kind of King James in itself, but what he's saying is, this doxology says, here's who God is, here's what's rightfully his, and here's what he wants to do for you. I think the Lord's Prayer really, in kind of a nutshell, is the gospel. It's a gospel message of who God is. And Jesus is saying, if you want to know me, and if you want to know my Father, Here's who he is. So let's look at this doxology briefly, and just kind of break it apart. It's rather simple, but we want to focus on it so that when we say it over and over and over, we really begin to understand its meaning. It starts off the doxology, the last line, "For yours is the kingdom." That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But it's true that God possesses, he presides over this world, he presides over us. Everything is his. His is the kingdom. He is sovereign. He's the supreme authority. He is in dominion over everything. We know the big words. He's omniscient, omnipotent. It's his kingdom. So we declare that. Yours is the kingdom. We declare that to God. God commands all the affairs of mankind. I think Pastor Ben went into some more detail on that a few weeks ago on the kingdom of God. And as a reminder, the Bible throughout, God is the king. He's the king of all the earth. He's great and marvelous, almighty. Your ways, you're the king of the nations. Luke 10, the kingdom of God has come near you. So again, we declare his kingdom to all. Thine is the kingdom. Second line says, Jesus taught his disciples to pray that yours is the power. The power belongs to God. In other words, like I said, he's omnipotent. He doesn't have power. He is the power. And all power in heaven and earth are his. Nothing can hinder his free exercise of working in this world and working in our lives. He has the power to heal our body, our mind, our soul. He has the power to heal broken relationships, to free our troubles from our troubles, bad habits, addictions. There's strength and power that come from God and the power of his Holy Spirit that's working in and through us. And then, of course, every prayer needs to climax with a great line and the announcement that all glory belongs to God. Yours is the glory. The kingdom, the power belong to God, and all glory rightly belongs to him as well. Sometimes we have a difficulty defining what glory is. We can define, what flowers are, what they look like. We can define a basketball. But to define the word glory is somewhat difficult. So I asked my good friend John Piper, and he said, God's glory is the ground of our salvation, and the exaltation of God's glory is the goal of our salvation. God's glory is the goal of all things. It's the unifying goal of history. God's glory is the source and sum of all full and lasting joy. The glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. Now, that still sounds a little bit deep, but, the scripture tells us throughout that we can see glory. In Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne. His train filled the temple. And the seraphim were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And I think that's where we see kind of the gloriousness is in God's creation, in the world around him. If you've been there when your baby was born, you see God's glory. It is amazing. I've had the privilege, as you know, of being in almost 100 countries. And I've seen the beauty of God's glory in the people, but also in his creation around the world. If you've ever traveled the world and you've seen the Alps, there's an awesomeness. I remember I was flying in an airplane one time over the Alps, and the pilot said, "I've flown this route so many times, I've never seen it so crystal clear." And you look down, and it was just glorious. That's the word you use. That gives us a tiny glimpse of God's glory, just tiny. Iguazu Falls in the Amazon. If you've ever seen Iguazu Falls, it makes Niagara Falls look like a joke. In the United States, the Rocky Mountains, Yosemite, the Redwood Forest, the oceans wide with foam. Sharon and I just spent 3 weeks in California on the ocean, about 30 minutes from the Redwood Forests. It's amazing. It inspires you when you see God's glory in the world around you. I know the Mazzoni family just returned from the Grand Canyon. It is grand. It is glorious. It is majestic. And it's a tiny, tiny glimpse of God's glory. So we can hardly imagine it. All the beauty in the universe is God's, but he himself is glory, and he is to be glorified. And so we continue to grasp that. Maybe we pray, God, continue to show us your glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forever and ever. God should be praised. He should be lifted up. He should be proclaimed as the one who has power and glory forever, because his kingdom is without end. And then, of course, finally, Jesus says at the end of this prayer, we sing and say, amen. And that's a familiar Hebrew word. So be it, it also means it is immovably true. So all these things that we've prayed, may it come to be, it's immovably true. And so that should be our response. Well, we have the Lord's Prayer because of Jesus. Because God loved us so much, Jesus came and he taught us how to pray. He gave us a special prayer to show us his glory, to tell us of his Father's sovereign reign in the world and over us. And there's one final reason that I love that last doxology of the Lord's Prayer. Do you know what that is? Because it sounds awesome when you sing it in the song. I've sung the Lord's Prayer once or twice. And as a matter of fact, after we pray today, I'm going to sing it for you again. But just a reminder that his is the kingdom, his is the power, his is the glory forever and ever. That's how we conclude that prayer, to lift up the name of Jesus, to glorify God in all that he is, in all who he is. So before I sing, let's pray together. Father, you are holy, and we do pray for your kingdom to come. We thank you for your love and for your provision. Most of all, Father, we thank you for Jesus, your only Son, who gave himself for us that we might have hope, that we might have eternal life. I pray that in meeting with you and speaking with you in prayer, that our prayers become more and more important in all of our lives. Holy Father, we proclaim together that yours truly is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.